This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio, WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Where's Brian? He's not here. It's Jeff Lagerman here with Jaguars This Week. And, folks, we've got a little different show than what we normally have. Going to be expected to be joined by head coach Jack Del Rio at some point here. He's got an event coming up. Also talk about the rookies and the progress of the offseason program, the OTAs. And then also had a short conversation with Gene Smith, and he's going to join us at some point as well. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman got the night off, and so it's going to be me and head coach Jack Del Rio, Gene Smith, and you. And if you'd like to get in, the number, get in, 904-355-6351. That's 355-NFL-1. A couple news and notes items that have hit, I guess you could say, the airways of late. Former Jaguar, and I know there's a lot of people that don't like to talk about this, Matt Jones. The news has come out from Chris Mortensen, and obviously it's through Jones's agent, Dave Butts, which is actually related to the famous defensive tackle Dave Butts, who I was a big fan of when he was playing with the Washington Redskins. But anyway, he's been notified by the league officials that he will not face any additional suspensions from the NFL, and he's going to have a $50,000 fine, and that his agent Butts is basically appealing to all the teams in the league, saying, hey, look, I've got a quality wide receiver here, and he is available. So just a little news item there about, I don't want to say former Jaguar, about a wide receiver that's available in the league, and obviously I'll just kind of leave it at that. The other news item that kind of came out today, and I'm sure it's going to infuriate a lot of people, CNNSI has an online website which they put out some stories that obviously don't hit the magazine. If you haven't heard about it, they actually have ranked every team in the National Football League as far as the backfield goes, from 1 through 32, and the combination of Dave Aguard and Maurice Jones-Drew has, I hate to say it, Jack, they're at 32. Unbelievable. And I'm sitting here looking at this list, and I'm going down, and I'm seeing, you know, Phillip Rivers and LT out in San Diego, pretty high up there, and that's understandable. Tom Brady, and I don't care who's in the backfield with him, and obviously it's Fred and a few others, are ranked pretty high. Eli Manning and Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw are fairly high. But you've got Tampa Bay with three quarterbacks that are no names, no offense, Byron, and a running back stable that's not all that good, and you've got them, you know, somewhere middle of the pack, and you've got Maurice Drew, a touchdown machine, and a quarterback that 2 years ago set a franchise record for passer rating, and you're going to put him at 32. You got to be kidding me. But anyway, just a couple news items there, and we welcome in head coach Jack Del Rio. You got headsets there? All right, hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
What was that last bit I walked in on?
It's just CNNSI.
CNNSI.
Did an article, and I'll give you the guy's name so you can make sure you send him an email. His name is John Mullen.
I probably won't be sending John any emails, but go ahead.
And what they did is they ranked,
based on
the backfields in the NFL,
of what they who they think's the best.
Yeah, 1 through 32.
Yeah. We'll see.
And let me ask you this. Would you rather be 32 than number 1?
I don't mind.
You know what I mean? I mean, from that underdog mentality.
Yeah. Though. Yeah. Underdog. That's who we
get
are.
Get no respect.
I don't know if I'd go there with
no,
it.
No, no, no. But I mean getting that to be the one thing I've learned is that when I was a player, I mean, obviously, I was a self-motivated guy. You were too. But when sometimes you have a little extra,
yeah,
it certainly doesn't hurt.
No, I think
and things like that provide extra.
I think a large dose of humility mixed in with the right combination of resolve, determination, you know, work ethic, all those things, those are going to be the things that determine what kind of year we have and what kind of year our backfield has. And I'm looking forward to it. We'll see how it ranks at the end of the year.
Got you fired up there, didn't I?
No, not really.
It's something anybody can write it.
It's kind of comical.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you could actually see some of the rankings, and because you know you got Dallas and New England and Philly. I mean, these are, you know, obviously
in terms of what they may score, what they may get yardage wise.
Doesn't say
on, just in terms this, of being good.
Yeah, let's rank them.
Well, I'll take our guys.
Yeah,
I like our guys.
I like your guys too.
Yeah.
Especially considering some of the other rankings that they have in this list, to give you an idea, I mean, you got Miami, Arizona 12, 13, Baltimore 14, but some of the ones that will drive you crazy that they've got, you know, Tampa and some of them that are ranked just above you, but, you know, obviously some slots higher, but that's so stupid. Everybody wants to rank something,
right?
But anyway, let's get to a couple things with you, and
all right.
And first and foremost is, how are the OTAs going?
Great, they're going great. You know, it's OTAs. It's you can't put too much stock in them, but at the same time, the work we're doing is valuable, and I do believe that where we are right now in terms of, you know, the approach that we're bringing every day. In terms of some of the young talent that we've added, in terms of the mindset that some of the returning veterans are bringing, you know, guys that need to, you know, really step up and have big years for us. You know, some of our leaders, the leaders that remain, okay, the mm-hmm. Rasheen Mathis type guys, the Justin Durant, Daryl Smith type guys at linebacker, and the D-line, Harvey and Groves and, you know, That group of guys, to me, that's what says a lot about what our team is going to be this year, and that's what I'm most excited about. Now, some of the speed we've added outside, yeah, it's there, and obviously we added a couple big offensive linemen, a big defensive tackle in the draft, and all those guys, they're young guys that are going to contribute, but I'm most excited about that core of players that really is kind of got stung last year with what was a disappointing year, and are really energized and looking forward to this year.
You know what really struck me? And watched the mini camp, watched a couple of the OTA practices, and somebody asked me how we looked, and it was my first one word answer was motivated.
Yeah,
I mean, I am really impressed with the energy level.
I like that one word. You got right to it. I did a lot of rambling around, but that's really what it is.
To me, that's what really struck me.
It's what it is
from what I saw at OTAs.
Yes.
It looked like a motivated team in practice. It looked like a motivated, competitive individuals competing in one-on-ones. I saw energy. I really liked what I saw.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Irregardless of talent,
that's right.
You know, you don't have any pads, but comparing last year, which, you know, I don't want to say it was going through the motions, but you know, hey, well, it's a football practice. And this year, it has jumped out at me. Motivated.
Yeah, hungry guys that I guess what I was referring to is some of the returning veterans that are hungry for you know, what it was a couple years ago. And then the young guys that are hungry for a position. And then some of the veteran guys that recognize if they don't come with that commitment, that motivated commitment to being here with a lot of energy, they're not going to make the team. You know, I think there's a lot of that going on. So the guys are really chomping at the bit. So anybody that came out to practice would have sensed that and felt that. There's a little bit of a freshness in the air right now with everything that's going on. The weight room, with some of the staff changes, with some of the new players that have been added. And there's a freshness about it right now that's great.
All right, well, hang with me. We got to run out to Winn-Dixie at 9A in Bay Meadows and check in with Hey Joe Fortunato. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Loggy, how you doing?
What are you doing at Winn-Dixie out there, and what's going on?
Way back when you were a rookie, okay? Can you go back that far?
Yeah, 20 years.
Did they have any kind of rookie camps for kids?
They did not.
With the Jets?
No, they did not.
So this, you got to check this out. This is the sixth year we're doing this, and folks, it always sells out, so please register early. But it's Tropicana's sixth annual Rookie Day. It happens Friday, June 12th, right at the stadium practice fields from 8:30 to 11. All kids age 6 to 14, come on by, register. You get to meet the entire 2009 rookie class. How cool is that? Now, they'll be teaching all kinds of drills and some fundamentals of football, also the value of teamwork. Jacksonville will be out there along with Aurora. You get a T-shirt, you'll get a certificate said you'll be there, and you're going to have a lot of fun. Once again, it's Friday, June 12th, but the only way to get involved is to register, and you can do that at any Winn-Dixie. Now, we're here till 7 o'clock. When I say we, I mean me and Jacksonville. He's out there. He's offering dances for all the ladies. If you come up and say you want to dance, he will dance with you right here at Winn-Dixie. So come on by. As Loggy said, we are at 9A in Bay Meadows, beautiful store here. Stop on by, Mom and Dad, after work. That'll be really cool. Pick up a registration form. Loggy, there you go.
Thank you, Joe. And we'll check in with Joe in a little bit and talk a little bit more about the sixth annual Rookie Day that's coming up June 12th. You got time to stick around for a few more minutes there, Jack?
You bet.
All right, we'll be back with more with Head Coach Jack Del Rio right here on Jaguars This Week. Back on Jaguars This Week, and we're joined by head coach Jack Del Rio. And Jack, I always like to watch the rookies, obviously, in mini camps to get a feel for it. And most people that have been around football can evaluate some of these guys pretty well. But you always want to hear how the rookies are kind of away from, I guess you could say, the obvious stuff. And had a conversation with the director of player programs for all the players, and it's Bahati Van Pelt. And he said, you know, that this by far is one of the best classes that he's ever had to deal with. He said that they did a little event at Landon Middle School, which is down in San Marco, and he said that he never had to tell one rookie how they should act or what to do when they got there. He said it was as if they had been doing this all along, and he said by far this is the best rookie class that he's ever dealt with.
Well, those type of comments have become the norm.
You got one as well
with this group. I did. John, who drives with Kerry Limo, called and wanted me to know, you know, what fine young men we had. That, you know, they're yes sir and no sir and thank you, and things like that. That it hadn't really been a part of that climate before, and so that's great to hear. I think, you know, look, we set out to, and we have, and we want to very much add these type of young men to this community. And now we need them to play well. But we do believe that we added the right type of kids to the locker room, to this football team.
And you obviously in the offseason have certainly addressed, you and General Manager Gene Smith have addressed a lot of, I guess, I don't want to say character concerns, but, you know, to bring a freshness. To me, it's cleaning a little bit. And I think every time that you're working something that can be as big and as complex as a football team, sometimes you got to clean out. You got to take out the trash, so to speak. You guys did a little bit of that, but you guys certainly have got some character guys in. But, you know, from watching them on the practice field, it's very difficult to tell, you know, your first two picks because they're big guys. You want to see them in pass.
Right.
But the little guys, I think you kind of get a little bit of a feel for it. At least I feel like I can get a little bit of a feel for it. And two of the guys that have kind of stood out to me, Derek Cox, first off, and unfortunately he's going to have kind of that label because he got, you know, the trade, so the expectations are going to be a little higher for him. I thought he looked outstanding. And the one that I think that stood out really to me was the running back, Rashad Jennings.
Yeah, no, he
looks nice.
He does look nice. And we'll get to know over time, you know, throughout these camps and then into the training camp itself, you know, more about these players. But certainly, you know, you could see with Jennings, you can see that here's a big man that can move, catches the ball, and we think he's got a chance to develop as a blocker and a runner. So we think he's got a chance to become that complement back, which would be outstanding. And, you know, you mentioned about, about kind of some people moving on from here that were here and us moving them on. I call that like a pruning. You know, it's kind of a purging, you know, either way you want to look at it. And that opens up the opportunity for others to emerge. I think we're going to see that this year. You're going to see other players emerge in our locker room. And I think some of the young players that we added, you know, you're talking about a couple of them there. All three of the wideouts are quicker than the guys we had before.
Vastly different from the big rangy kind of build-to-speed guys.
And Cox will have maybe more – people wondering about him, and but I trust my eyes, and I know what we're seeing thus far kind of validates, you know, what we thought we were going to get when we got him here. He's a good-looking young man, and you talk about a guy that his brain works. Football means a lot to him, and he's been blessed with athletic ability. I mean, he's, you know, great size and great speed and great change of direction. So we think he's going to be a real good football player for us. So it's a refreshing, you know, feel right now. And we're excited. We get back, you know, June 1st, we get back to work with our OTAs continuing. And so we're looking forward to that starting on Monday. And obviously things are going pretty well.
All right. The Jack Del Rio Foundation has been in existence for a couple of years now. You've had the event that was in the past fall. And you've got another event coming up here very shortly. What is it all about? Because it's not a single day event; it's a multiple event, isn't it?
Yeah, what we're doing, we partnered up with something called Dance Trance. And for those people out there that aren't aware, my wife's been going to this thing. It's been great for me because she's happy. She's there dancing, getting in good shape, and coming home, and her spirits are great because she's having such a good time. But we're partnered up with Dance Trance, and we're doing a dance for a cause. And we're going to target four different charities. We're going to raise money for charity. And the first class is going to be June 18th, and it's at the Beaches location on Orange Street there in Neptune. And we're doing that night is for the Cathedral Arch Project. And so we're doing that, and you know, you can sign up and come and do the Dance Trance thing. And we've got a date on June 24th, and that's going to benefit Seamark Ranch. And August 12th, that's going to benefit Big Brothers and Big Sisters. And then August 24th, the American Cancer Society. So the Jack Del Rio Foundation, we're staying out there in the community, giving back and doing these little fundraisers and having fun with it. And it's a good cause, and you know, some attractive gals go in there and work themselves into good shape.
So have you done it?
No, it's for attractive girls. No, it's there are guys there, but I haven't done it yet. My wife says I would have a hard time.
She hasn't talked you into it
yet? I'd have a hard time keeping up, I think.
You think? Come on now. You were a professional athlete.
That's right.
You know? All right, so folks, if you want to find out more about the Dance Trance events coming up, and again, June 18th, June 24th, August 12th, and the 24th, and obviously the Jack Del Rio Foundation is helping raise money for four different things. Cathedral Arts Project Charity Class, Seamark Ranch was obviously the Davis family is heavily involved in. Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Northeast Florida, and the American Cancer Society. If you want to get more information, call Dance Trance at 904-390-0939, or you can go to the website at dancetrancefitness.com.
That's right. Get in shape, have a little fun, and raise some money for charity.
I need the first part.
That's right.
Get in shape.
That's right.
Well, Jack, thanks for joining us.
Okay, Jeff.
And,
good talking to you.
Best of luck with the rest of the OTAs. And right now we're going to go talk to Hey Joe Fortunato, out at Winn-Dixie at Bay Meadows and 9A. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Loggy, thanks a lot. Yeah, it's Tropicana's 6th annual Rookie Day. That's a chance for kids aged 6 to 14 to get together with the 2009 Jaguars rookie class, which is really cool. They'll lead them in all kinds of drills. It'll teach the fundamentals of football, and, of course, values of teamwork. Jacksonville's always out there. There are wars out there. The entertainment here. Your kids will get some water, some snacks. Of course, Tropicana Pure Premium Orange Juice will be served, and each kid gets a goodie bag, a certificate, and a T-shirt. It all happens Friday, June 12th, right at the stadium practice fields, begins 8:30, will last till around 11. But I'd like to say, please, 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 if you're interested, do so early. Don't put this off, because they always sell out. We've been doing them for five previous years. This is the sixth one. They always sell out, and they sell out early. Stop by any Winn-Dixie, couldn't be easier, and register your child as long as they're age 6 to 14. If you can, stop by today. We are at the Winn-Dixie at Bay Meadows at 9 a.m. I'm here. Jackson DeVille's here. He's having a blast. He's taking pictures. He's here for you. He's a hardest working cat in the NFL. But once again, Friday, June 12th, it is Tropicana's 6th annual Rookie Day. Loggy?
Thank you, Joe. And you know, this is a great opportunity, folks, because you just heard my comments to head coach Jack Del Rio. You heard Jack's comments about the rookie class. I mean, this is an outstanding character class that I think you would really like to have your kids be around. You know, from Eugene Monroe all the way down to Taquan Underwood, the entire draft class, the entire rookie class will be there at that event on Friday, June 12th, and all you got to do is go to Winn-Dixie to register. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to go see if I can track down. There he is walking in the door. We're going to have General Manager Gene Smith with me and you right after this.
Back on Jaguars this week, and appreciate head coach Jack Del Rio for joining us the first half hour of this hour-long show. And now we're joined by general manager Gene Smith. Gene, thanks for coming on.
No problem, Jeff.
You got a little tired eyes going. You know, you've had a busy week. You were at Blesto, right? To tell people what Blesto is.
Well, Blesto is one of the two scouting combines for the NFL, and Blesto is a group of teams that's it started out the Bears, the Lions, the Eagles, the Steelers, talent organization.
That's the acronym. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and
and you came from Blesto, right?
That's correct.
Okay,
I started out with Blesto, and then when Jacksonville entered into the league as an expansion franchise, Tom having worked up in New York with the Giants and George Young, they were a Blesto team when they had a lot of success up there, so he wanted to make Jacksonville a Blesto team. So at that particular time, the organization joined Blesto. I basically transitioned from Blesto to the Jaguars, and I was the Blesto Southeast Scout before I actually became the Jaguar Southeast Scout, and then the Carolina Panthers at that time, the other expansion team, joined National Scouting. So you had each team join different scouting combines.
Mm-hmm. So there's an interesting story about how the conversation went between you and head coach, general manager Tom Coughlin about salary. Is there some truth to this story?
No comment.
Well, to me, it's not a bad thing, but to me, it's kind of funny. You can't share that with us? I've heard this, but I don't know if it's truth or not.
Well, I typically don't share anything about my contract or.
No, not to talk about way back when. Way back when, because it's kind of a funny story. And correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not going to tell the whole story because I don't know all the details. But I was kind of told or whatever, Tom was talking to you about hiring you on or something like that. And he said, well, you know, what do you think you're worth? And he said, okay, that's what you're going to make. You know, because I think you gave him a low number. Well, I got to at least make this. And he said, well, that's fine. That's what you'll get.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. I look back on that, and I was very eager. I took a pay cut to come to the NFL. I told Tom that I would earn my opportunity here, you know, for advancement. And he said, well, Gene, what do you think you're worth? And I said, Tom, I'd like to at least make my age. And he said, I will pay you your age.
That's the story I wanted. I think that's a classic story. And how old were you at the time?
30.
That's funny. That's a classic story. I mean, you're going to be able to tell that.
I've shared that with few people.
So. That's a great story. All right. Besides contracts and starts, your draft class, I mentioned the head coach, Jack Del Rio, had a conversation with Bahati Van Pelt, who you know run the player programs, and his comments were that this is an exceptional class that certainly doesn't need a lot of direction. He said there are some natural leaders in there pretty much among the group, he said, but everybody has that it to where they're not questionable guys. He said they were at Landon Elementary School in San Marco, and he said he didn't have to tell one guy what to do. I mean, that's the kind of character you're after, isn't it?
It is. I certainly think character is a player's greatest talent. You know, I think if you look through the years, and Jeff, you played with a bunch of players that were very talented.
And all the great ones had character.
Right. And the guys who failed typically was a character flaw.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't necessarily something to do with physical ability. It was usually something to do with a character trait, you know, a lack of discipline. And I really believe that that is the one thing, whether it's in business or in professional football, which, you know, you and I have worked in. It's character, I think, that is the common thing when you talk about sustaining success at a high level when every team in the NFL has good players.
Yeah, when I played in New York, the true great ones that I played with, Art Monk, Ronnie Lott, Al Toon, Freeman McNeil, these guys were, it doesn't get any higher character than what they had. And there was a lot of guys that I had the chance to share a locker room with that may have had better talent than some of those guys, but they kind of were iffy, you know. And I'm not sure if it was, you know, not quite as smart, or you call it a character concern, but they just didn't even come close to excelling at the level of the guys that had character when it came to equal talent.
Well, and then I look at you. You know, I was here as a scout.
Very low character guy.
Now you were actually a consummate pro. I mean,
you
were a guy passionate about the profession. You came out to practice every day with the same mindset. You know, you set an example for younger players. You knew that being a part of the NFL was a privilege.
That it was.
Whether it's as a player or certainly as a coach or as a scout, you know, mine has been on the player personnel side, and I know it's a privilege for me. It's a limited slot profession, and I've never taken it for granted.
All right, one of the things that kind of surprised me today, I saw Tim Mengi. What's Tim's official position?
Well, he's the assistant director of college personnel.
Okay. I said, hey, Tim, what are you doing? Because he looked like he was in a hurry. He says, well, we're hard at it. And he said something, and I don't get the exact thing that he said. He said, we've got to do character, I guess, evaluations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gene, you're just finished up a draft. You're already working on that part, huh, for 2010?
Well, and you know this as well as anybody, there's no off-season in football anymore. You know, there's an in-season when you play games, and there's an out-of-season when you don't. And player personnel, you know, getting back from the Blesto meetings last week and going through the rising senior group of players for, you know, the 2010 draft, you know, we do extensive background work. And so this time of the year, we do a lot of things on the phone to assist our cause when we go out in the fall. To really know the players who may have alerts that we have to accelerate our work on. And, you know, it's a year-round process.
Do you tend to get a more, when you call up a school and people that are around somebody that you're interested in, do you have a tendency to get a more honest answer now as opposed to next year when the player is 2 weeks away from the draft? I would think that now you would have a more honest answer.
There's a lot of truth to that, Jeff. What happens is a lot of times going into their senior year, you know, some people call it their contract year. You know, they try to clean up their act. And I think, you know, this time of the year, it's a good time not just to get a true indicator of what a player's pattern or behavior is for the first 3 or 4 years of their career, but it's also a good time because the coaches aren't trying to win games. And in the fall, they're trying to do that, so their schedule is a little bit different than what it is in the spring. And I know there's some spring recruiting in the month of May, but there are windows where they're off the road and we can get access to them. And being the fact we have a guy like Tim who's worked in our backyard, you know, the Southeast since he's come into the league, he has good trusted sources where he can pick up the phone.
And a good guy.
Yeah, an excellent person. And people will talk to him. And that goes a long way. I think if you have scouts that make cold phone calls and try to do it, they probably wouldn't be as successful as a guy like him.
Yeah, it's all relationships. To get honest answers, you got to have a relationship. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you got time to stick around for a few more minutes. We'll have one more segment with General Manager Gene Smith. Back on Jaguars this week, joined by General Manager Gene Smith. We had Head Coach Jack Del Rio earlier. We're kind of working the heads of the horse, so to speak, here. And Gene, obviously going forward, the OTAs are from here until, you know, sometime in June, and then you're going to end up breaking camp. Where is your focus? And I'm not talking about the future, because obviously we just talked about Blesto and evaluating prospects for the 2010 class. Where is your focus at with the team in its current state now as far as how it relates to the 2009 season?
Well, we're still under evaluation, believe it or not. There's 87 players that are with us right now. We go to camp with 80. There's 78 players under contract, 60 veterans. And then certainly with the rookies, we got 9 draft picks. We got 18 undrafted players. But we oversigned, in essence, because until you sign your rookies, you know, you can carry.
You can carry more than 80.
So we got to cut 7 players before we go to training camp. So through the OTAs, there are some players that are very close in talent. They'll compete to make our 53 roster if, in fact, they can get in our game day 45, which means you probably got to have some type of special team value to be able to do that. And then, you know, there's some guys, too, if they don't make the 53, are they a quality developmental squad prospect that could be somebody in a year or two that could develop into a key backup or role player? So, I mean, there's actual evaluation. You could say, well, most of these guys are going to go to training camp with you anyways, and that's true. But there are a few guys that are very close in talent. You want to make sure that you're keeping the right players.
You know, it's kind of funny that you bring up this 45 number, and so many people, when they try to guess the roster breakdown, they think in terms of 53.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't think in them terms. You got to think in terms of game day active, which you're allowed mm-hmm. to have 45 plus one.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is how you look at when you determine the final roster breakdown. And to explain to people why.
Well, most of your backup defensive players, you know, they tackle every day in practice. And a lot of those players aren't going to get on the field either at all or very limited snaps, maybe in a sub-package situation. So they have to be your four core special team players. And so certainly when you look at your roster, and I say the 45-man roster, you got to have players that can get into that number based on their value to your team and how to increase your value if you're a backup is to be a special team performer.
There was an equipment manager for the New York Titans and the New York Jets, and you know the name, Hampton. And his name was Bill Hampton Sr., and we called him a.k.a. Fang. And he was the head equipment manager for the New York Jets, and obviously back when Joe Namath was there. He had a saying, and I remember hearing this as a rookie, and I believed it. He said, just remember one thing, young man, the more you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to a 45, you know, roster game day decision, the more you can do a la special teams or being a versatile player who can play multiple positions is going to help you make the roster.
Right. And typically, the more downs you can play, the higher you get drafted. And on our football team, when you look at our defensive players, we got a number of them that are outstanding special team players. But I think one of the benefits here is we also have some offensive players like Montel Owens,
mm-hmm.
Who's an exceptional special team player.
And Zach Miller looks like he's going to be a special teams player too, the rookie tight end former quarterback.
Yeah, and he certainly looks like he'll be a guy that can help us at the tight end position.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a different type of guy. Running routes. I mean, you got guys like the Colts have in Dallas Clark,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Owen Daniels with Houston. I mean, you got guys like that in the NFL now. The Scaife kid from Tennessee that can run and catch and mismatch safeties and linebackers. So I think he brings a little bit different element to the utilization of the tight end in your passing game.
I was kind of laugh when Mr. Hampton, you know, Fang used to say that. I always said, man, you just want somebody to help you fold towels. Because we did, too. We actually, can you imagine, I mean, today's players going in the equipment room and helping fold towels? We did that every week.
Is that right?
We did that every week. We had John, has been hanging on forever and has been extremely patient. John, you got a question for General Manager Gene Smith?
Yes, sir. For one thing, I think he's done a remarkable job, it seems like, with personality and talent. One of the things is on an opposing radio station, but Jennings, the running back, did an interview, and I mean, he was impressive, very impressive. I mean, the thing was is the last comment that he really made was the fact that at the locker room, and he was beside the cornerback, I can't think of his name, the rookie, and saying, can you believe that we're Jaguars?
That'd be Dirk Cox.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I couldn't believe it. But another question I want to know, whatever happened to, because he ended up a free agent, and I know because you're from Ohio, whatever happened to Beckman?
He signed.
Now, hold on here. Hey, John, thanks for the call, by the way. Beckman. Who's Beckman?
Todd Beckman from Ohio State, the backup quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah, he signed. I don't want to guess on this one, John, and I also want to tell you thanks for your patience, and I really appreciate your support and your kind words. about me and certainly the staff. We do take a lot of pride in what we do, and the fact that people like yourself appreciate that as passionate fans of the Jaguars means a lot. Todd signed, but I'm not certain with who, and I don't want to guess on it.
We'll find out at another time. John can do an internet search, but anyway. Going forward, what's the task at hand for you as general manager? Constantly evaluating what's out there. I noticed recently you bring in Todd Bowman.
Yes.
Get a little competition for the number two spot there, maybe?
Yeah, he was close to making our team a year ago, and he's a guy that has a lot of savvy for the position, so he brings veteran presence. And he still has, I think, something left. And then also Tyron Brackenridge. You know, he came in here last week. We claimed him, and he had a nice practice on Thursday. So he's a guy that'll be in the hunt to compete to make the roster as well, because he's a legitimate special team player. So anytime we have an opportunity to improve our roster, we certainly look to do that.
Well, the one thing, I made this comment to Jack Del Rio, that somebody had asked me what my immediate comments were about the Jaguars and how they looked in OTAs, and my one-word answer was simply motivated. It looks competitive. It looks filled with energy. It looks like a motivated practice field to me, from coaches on down to players, and I am very impressed so far this year. And congratulations on your first draft. It looks like a good one. And I look forward to watching them when they get some pads on.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. I really appreciate it. We got a Virginia Cavalier, so I know Jeff's happy with
that. I'm very happy. I'm glad that $20 I paid you worked on that one. All right, folks, we'll talk to you all next week, same time, same place, right here on WOKV.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.